This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 13th induction ceremony will take place Monday at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York. On this archive edition, we'll hear from one of the new inductees, songwriter and producer Alan Toussaint. He was one of the key figures in the creation of the New Orleans sound. In the early 60s, Toussaint produced, wrote, and arranged hits by Ernie K. Doe, Irma Thomas, Aaron Neville, and Benny Spellman. Toussaint's songs include Mother-in-Law, Working in a Coal Mine, and Lipstick Traces. More recently, he's worked with the Pointer Sisters, Bonnie Raitt, the Judds, and Elvis Costello. Now he's showcasing talented but virtually unknown New Orleans performers on his record label NINO, an acronym for New York, New Orleans, the two cities that are home to his recording studios. In 1988, Toussaint told me he made his recording debut back in 1957, playing piano in the style of Fats Domino for some of Domino's own recordings, including this one, I Want You to Know.
I want you to know I love her so well, and I love her so much I can never, never tell. Oh boy.
That was a popular during that time to play like other people. I hadn't established who I really was yet, so if they wanted someone who would play like others, like Ray Charles or Fats Domino, they could very well call me and know they would get what they were looking for. We were up to two tracks at that time, a multi-two-track recording, and Fats Domino was out of the country, and Dave Bartholomew, who was his producer and writer on many songs, called me in to play like him, like Fats Domino would play on a song called I Want You to Know, and one another called Something About a Little Schoolgirl. And I went in and played, and that was sort of a milestone in my early getting started.
So you had to play exactly in his style. You already had his style down from listening to records?
By all means, yes. Everything, mistakes and all.
When you filled in for Fats Domino, was that supposed to be a big secret? Were you supposed to not tell anyone that that was actually you playing on his record?
Oh, no, that was never mentioned. But no one really got to know that in the public generally, because that kind of information isn't usually publicized. But it never was hush-hush among the musical community. The guys around knew, and it was kind of fun.
Now, in 1959, when you were around 21, Minute Records opened, which became one of the most important of the New Orleans record companies. And you were the house arranger, pianist, and composer. That company was really known for creating a New Orleans sound. What do you associate with that New Orleans sound? What kind of rhythms do you think of? What kind of arrangement?
I think, in short, syncopation. The kind of syncopation that was inspired by the street bands. By street bands, I mean the second line bands that were early originated for funerals. In fact, it goes back longer than any of us can remember. But the syncopation, the horn licks that sort of associate with that kind of band. And I think that was largely responsible for how the New Orleans beat turned out to be for that period.
Now, what did you listen to growing up that made that such a natural sound for you?
Professor Longhair, foremost for his New Orleans people. Fats Domino, of course. And I listened to everyone, however. As a young child, I thought that all pianists played everything. I mean, I thought anything on piano, any piano music, all pianists played it. So I tried a little Bach, a little Professor Longhair, a little Alfred Ammons, Boogie Woogie, some Strauss waltzes, some Liberace. I really came into my senses later to find out that you can't really do it all. But as an early child, I tried to play every kind of music that I heard. I thought everyone was doing that.
And then you learned they weren't.
Oh, yes, and I learned I weren't.
One of the first national hits that you had, a song you wrote and produced and arranged, was Mother-in-Law, the Ernie K. Doe record. This was back in 1961. I want to play some of that record, but tell us the story behind how you wrote it.
Well, I wrote that along with four other songs that day. During that period, all of the artists would gather in the front room of my parents' home, and I would write one song for one artist. We'd all sing it, and then I'd write another for another, and we'd all sing that one, and the first artist would sing background behind the other. That's how sometime Ernie Cato would sing background for Aaron Neville. Aaron would sing background for Irma. But Mother-in-Law was written the same day as Tainted the Truth. Won a $10,000 reward, and Hello, My Lover. And we had a great time with it. When I first wrote it, when Ernie Cato first attempted to sing it in the front room, it didn't come off nearly the way I thought it should have in my mind. So I wanted to discard that song like I had done so many others. And Ernie Cato took it out of the trash can as I was writing a song for someone else and say, man, let's give this another try. And we did, and I'm so glad that he did.
Let's take a break from our 1988 interview with Alan Toussaint to hear a performance he gave earlier that year in our studio of his song, Mother-in-Law.
The worst person I know, mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, mother-in-law, every time I open my mouth, she steps in and try to put me out. How could she stoop so low? Mother-in-law, 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 mother-in-law. Why Satan could have been her name, mother-in-law, mother-in-law. To me, they're about the same. Mother-in-law, mother-in-law, if she'd leave us alone, we would have a happy home. Sent from down below, mother-in-law, 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 mother-in-law. I come home with my pay, mother-in-law, mother-in-law. She asked me what I've made. Mother-in-law, mother-in-law. She thinks her advice is a contribution, but if she would leave, that would be the solution. And don't come back no more. Mother-in-law, mother-in-law, mother-in-law.
Alan Toussaint singing and at the piano. Let's get back to our interview with Toussaint.
I want to ask you about another song that you wrote, another one that was a hit, and this is Working in a Coal Mine, which Lee Dorsey was the first to record, another song you wrote, arranged, produced. What's the story behind this song?
Well, Lee Dorsey has inspired many, many wonderful songs, as far as I'm concerned, and I only can afford to call them wonderful because I know they are more part of him than they are of me, even though I wrote the entire songs. Lee Dorsey would inspire songs that just wouldn't come from any other source, like Took a Little Trip to Mexico. There's no reason for that. I didn't take a little trip to Mexico or anything like that at that time. But Working in a Coal Mine was one that we liked when we went in to do it, but it didn't really come together in the studio as it should. And Marshall Seahorn took and put a razor to the tape, which is a term for splicing the tape, and put the first part on the end and made it a complete recording, which was good for all of us because we do like the final, we did like the final product. But as far as Working in the Coal Mine, lots of folk ask me, how was it inspired? Do I know anything about coal mines? Not at all. Nothing more than what I've seen in the movies.
So why did you write about coal mines?
I don't know.
It just came to you.
That's Lee Dorsey again. When he's around and I hear his voice in my head, things come.
Well, let's hear this recording, Working in a Coal Mine, written and produced by my guest, Alan Toussaint.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine. About to step down, working in a coal mine, going down, down.
get this going on.
Daddy, working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to step down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoop, about to step down.
Cause I make a little money on a coal by the ton. But when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun.
Just working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to step down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoop, about to step down.
That's Working in a Coal Mine, performed by the late Lee Dorsey, written and produced by my guest Alan Toussaint. The group that basically became your rhythm section was the Meters, and then you also produced hits for them. And they were the Meters basically was the Neville brothers, and you had been working with singer Aaron Neville for years, I mean, since close to the beginning of your career, right?
Well, something like that, yes. Of course, the last part, working with Aaron for many, many years, yes. When I first began writing for recordings, Aaron was there, yes. And Art Neville's I recorded as a single artist also. When I first saw the Meters, they were going by the name of the Neville Sounds, which was only one Neville in them. It was Art Neville's. It so happens he was the leader of the band. And the Meters was one band that he had put together, like many others. And I must say that he's a natural leader, because every time he's ever put a band together, it's been very special and very unique. And the Meters was no exception, of course.
What was it about their sound that attracted you, that you wanted to use in your records?
Total syncopation, popping everywhere. Every musician in the Meters, it was only four of them, but they all were playing percussion on their instruments. The guitarist was playing percussion. The bass player was playing percussion. And, of course, organ. Art Neville's was on the organ. Very percussive group. And Zig on drums was just outrageously wonderful.
You've written some songs under the name of Naomi Neville.
Right.
Are you any relation to the Neville brothers?
We don't know. Naomi Neville is my mother's maiden name. And I used that for some good business reasons, I thought earlier. I was underage when I was with a company. And when I became of age, I was about to change companies. And until that was ironed out in the courts, I used a pseudonym, which was my mother's maiden name. I just wanted to keep a name that was in the house in case the computer made a mistake. At least it would come to the same house.
Alan Toussaint, recorded in 1988. Monday he'll be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.